Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Some people think they should go to heaven
to get there. Sorry, but it didn't work that way. This shocking act of disloyalty from our own homegrown chosen one sends the exact opposite lesson of what we told our children to learn and who we would want them to grow to be. But the good news is that this artist Callous Act can only serve as an antidote to the so-called curse on Cleveland, Ohio. The self-declared, which is not true, self-declared former king will be taking a curse with him down south. And until he does right by the Cleveland, Ohio, James, and down the place where we unfortunately own the dreaded spell and bad karma. Just watch. Sleep well, Cleveland. Tomorrow is a new and brighter day. I promise you that your energy, your focus, capital and knowledge, and experience will be directed at one thing and one thing only. Delivering you a championship you long deserved and long overdue. Signed, Dan Gilbert, majority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, folks, it's been 4 years. Miami has been in the championship all 4 years. The Cleveland Cavaliers have been in last place all 4 years. What happened Friday night? LeBron James went back to Cleveland. This is my answer to the letter. This is my answer to LeBron James going back to Cleveland, which he had every right to do. What the LeBron James trade had done is return the NBA to normal. What I mean is the owners now have control again. James, Bosh, and Wade were rebels in 2010. They upset the apple cart. Everybody was mad because they knew Miami was going to win championships. This cannot go on in the NBA, the owners stated. Even though 2 years earlier, the Boston Celtics traded Garnett and Allen to join Pierce at TD Garden. This move will mean nothing if Dan Gilbert does not apologize to the Republic of Cleveland fan base and to LeBron James virtually. This is one of the nastiest public letters of all time. I know Dan Gilbert will never do this. He has the player. He has his boy back in Cleveland. The league wanted to help the Central Division to become a real threat in the playoffs. Milwaukee, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, and Cleveland lost 15% of attendance the past 4 years. It'll be that again. Milwaukee, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, and Cleveland lost 15-20% of attendance the past 4 years. And those who think that's not important, you haven't been paying attention. And my friend Reggie L. from 1450 WCLM ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So the Jay is about to go home? Yes. The Jay is ready to go home? Yes. His family wanted to go home. And that's a good thing. But LeBron James wants to be like Michael Jordan. He's only one Michael Jordan. There's only one LeBron James. And he could not do that until he came back to Cleveland. So America. America now loves LeBron James. Really? The same as the mentality is still strong in the United States of America. That's my answer to Gilbert's letter 4 years ago. And we all know that this is a business, and we have to do things by business. I understand that. But to sit here and tell me that LeBron James went home by himself, no, this was a business move. This was for the NBA. This is for Cleveland. This is for Chicago. This is for Milwaukee. This is for Minnesota and Indiana. That was for. Okay? We can stop playing games. Stop being ignorant. And stop following ESPN. Because ESPN ain't going to tell you that. ESPN is not going to tell you what is right and what is wrong. They'll tell you what they think and what they want you to think. That's the problem here. It's a dog wagging the tail. We take a break. Thank you. played today at Ford Layton. No, my thoughts are at Cleveland. The Yankees are in Baltimore. Arizona is in the city of San Francisco. Miami is at the other city in New York, the Mets. Washington is playing at Philadelphia, Strasburg against Hamels. Oakland at Seattle, Chavez and Iwakuma. Atlanta is at Chicago. And St. Louis at Milwaukee, Boston at Houston, Minnesota at Colorado, Toronto is at Tampa Bay. And round out Seattle, Detroit at Kansas City. The Angels are at Texas, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, and San Diego is at LA Dodgers, Kennedy against Mahomes. Angels at Texas, Weaver at Michaelis. Detroit, Kennedy, Vercello against Shields. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati is Morton against Leak. And the All-Star game is this Tuesday. The last game will be tomorrow. The last game is day off. The All-Star game on Tuesday. The day off again on Wednesday. And Thursday will be the first game, the first series after the All-Star game. So, it's really funny because the All-Star game comes very quickly. And nobody knows. So baseball is in the backseat of the sports world, and nobody knows who these guys are. So MLB has got to do a lot of work to get their image back. And like I said before, baseball is cheating. Until they clean up their sport, they will continue to decline. I think that we're seeing the decline of a major sport. And I know you say, well, I think you're overblowing it. No, I'm not. Because if you don't go to the game, if you don't follow baseball, if you don't know who the players are, it was like 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the All-Star game, everybody knew who played. This year, I can't name any of them. Or very few of them I can name. Because the A's have 6. And the Giants have 2. Other than that, I can't name these guys. And that's the problem with baseball. They're not promoting it. They're not getting into minority neighborhoods. They're picking guys from Cuba, Panama, Puerto Rico, which is okay. But where are the African Americans at? Baseball's in trouble. And they have a woman named, which I'll get into later on in the show, who has worked for the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees, and she can't get a job for the club. This woman has worked for 2 of the biggest teams in the league, and she can't get a job. What's wrong with this picture? And there you have it for today. That the Major League Baseball. Let's go to the news of the week. The New York Yankees last Sunday began making their moves as they said, throwing out of the Trenton. And acquire Brandon McCartney. Mid-season bat to be out for the rest of the year. And this game behind in July. I bet the man go pick up something. I don't. Because everybody likes that damn hitters. That may be what happened. And last Sunday, they not go win the 1-13 game. 9-7. And Robinson and Bullpen go through again. In Oakland, Samardzija, who got traded by the Cubs, thank you to go with Cubs. Sent down Blue Jays, 4-2. And the A's man gives Samardzija a standing ovation. And now, the A's have a real stopper on their hands. Now, if they can only find a player named Gary, they have a complete set. They have a pitcher named Gray. They have a catcher named Norris. All you need now is a player named Gray. We had a complete set. The Giants with Lindsaygum beat the Padres, and Lindsaygum has finally learned how to pitch instead of throw. Lindsaygum has become a pitcher now and not a thrower. He sent down the Padres 5-3 and both the LA Clubs win. And this is going to be the way the rest of the year. LA and the West Coast. It's going to be SoCal against NorCal, NorCal, A's and Giants against Angels and Dodgers the rest of the year. And now the Giants are tied in the first place. But that's the name of the beast. The NBA free agency on Monday. The big three, now we know. The Bryant Stowe case was deliberated. And the jury decided that the Dodgers were guilty. They were guilty. The McCourt family was off the hook, trying to pay anything. And it's those finally get the money they need to help their son, who is now disabled. The Oscar Pistorius case gets weirder by the day. As the defense tried to suppress the video they made of Oscar Pistorius going through what happened that night. It doesn't look good for Blade Runner. It doesn't look good at all. And I think Oscar Pistorius might be going to jail. Sorry to say, folks, but he's going to jail. The National Football League and the issues of concussions, the U.S. District Judge Anita Brody approved the removal of the NFL salary cap of $348 million. And the NFL, these guys, this Naval League, tried to exclude older players. And really, I mean, that's the NFL. And we're talking right now, they're playing Brazil, and then they're playing for third place. Just started 0-0. On Tuesday, the Germans ran over the Brazilians with four goals in 7 minutes, it was over. And then the Brazilians gave up, didn't play defense, and the machine, the German national team, went easy 7-1. The cleaner brother, this is before the brother come back. On Tuesday, the Cleveland Browns had to deal with a trouble player named Josh Gordon. Now, Josh Gordon is an example of a spoiled brat. Josh Gordon was driving while intoxicated and got pulled over by the police. He named Edward Starr. And this is what happens when you pamper athletes. Jordan will be going to court next week for the alleged DUI. On Wednesday, the governor said Jared Jack, Sergei Karsarov, and Tyler Zeller to create the space, the salary cap space for LeBron. That same night, LeBron and Riley beat in Las Vegas and Chris Bizarre keep telling our guy Evan Singleton before Chris Bizarre ever said it. Champion Chris Rome will be out because of two crashes. And why they ride bicycles in the rain? Which is what they did. Bikes are flying all over the place. It was a second major crash in Tour de France. So champion, 2013 champion, Chris Rome will be out of the Tour de France this year. On Wednesday, Argentina beat the Netherlands on penalty kicks after a 0-0 game, a tight test match, tight defense, unlike the Germans who beat the Brazilians a day earlier. Germany will play Argentina on Sunday at noon Pacific time. I hope it's like the Argentina that, but that was really exciting. Great defensive, great goaltending. And as the world of soccer is slowly catching on, in the United States, it might take a couple more years, but with more World Cup being paid attention, and if we get a good team, people will pay more attention. I mean, when the World Cup is in Europe, the whole country stops and watches the game for 2 hours. I mean, the whole country stops. This year, for the first time, in the United States, it happened here. Like I said, it showcased the Dodgers' verdict was $18.1 million, and the McCourt family was not responsible, but the two defendants are responsible. They're $6.7 million each. Good luck with that, but they're being in jail. In London, 48 hours later, on the street of San Francisco, two knuckleheads knocked down a woman after the game, and she's wearing A's cap, knocked her down, sent her to the hospital, and these two nincompoops got in their car and drove off, didn't care what condition this woman was in. They called the ambulance. Luckily, she's okay. She's still a little bit woozy from the concussion. But look, it's only a game, folks. It's a game. You don't beat people up because of a game. You don't knock them out because of a game. Brian Stowe is disabled because two idiots knocked him out 3 years ago. And his family and mother and father got to take care of him the rest of his life. Because these two idiots, who, because he's wearing a Giants jacket, a Giants shirt, they like him. It's a game. Hello, you root for your team. Your team loses, you walk away. On Thursday, Tanaka went to Seattle, the New York Pitchers Tanaka went to Seattle to get examined by neurosurgeons, and this has become an epidemic. About 45 to 50 pitchers are going down this year with arm trouble. I don't know, last 2 years I've seen a rash of pitchers going down. And my question is, what's going on with the pitching in major leagues with 45 to 50 pitchers going down? And Tanaka was 14-4, only up to New York Yankees. And now Yankees have been on my 14-day disabled list. And I don't need to be done. One more issue before I set up 70 here. One more issue before I go over there. And a woman from Chicago who grew up in New York. Her name is Kim Ng, a Chinese American, and she has been the executive director and assistant general manager of both the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers. Ms. Ng has all the credentials to be a general manager. Ms. Ng has put 10 years in this effort, but yet she cannot get a job. She's about a glass ceiling. This is it. Ms. Ng has the experience as the job resume and the San Diego Padres need to hire this woman immediately, because the Padres are in last place and have been in the playoffs in almost 20 years. Same with the Chicago Cubs, the Houston Astros, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. These five teams need to look at Kim Ng, and at least one of them need to hire her as general manager. Let me get some of those over here. Hello, sir.
Hey, Gary, 707 calling in here. I got a couple of things I was listening to the early part of the show, a couple of things I want to respond to.
Yes, sir.
On the Brian Stowe beatdown matter.
Yes, sir.
Which occurred in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium some years back.
Yes.
The judgment, I believe, was for $18 million.
Yes.
The Dodgers are liable for only 25% of that. The balance
yes.
of it is with the two fellows who perpetrated
yes.
the beatdown, who are
right.
in prison and who are not likely to be able to pay that judgment.
No, they can't afford it.
So that leaves only $4.5 million coming from the Dodgers.
Yes.
When you take a case to trial, typically attorney fees step up, that it's you know, one-third to the attorney, whatever they recover. They take these cases on contingency, meaning
right.
the contingency that if they win, they get paid. If they don't win,
right.
they don't get paid.
30%
if you settle before trial, 40% on the day of trial, 50% if you go to trial. So that $4.5 million is typically cut in half to compensate the attorneys for their risk of speculation of taking a case on. Any fees come off the top. So if there's been expert witness fees, things like that. So Mr. Stowe, who has been damaged for life to the point where he apparently, according to his family, can't even understand really what happened in this verdict and requires day-to-day care.
Yeah.
Break that number down, $2.5 million less whatever expert fees were involved leaves him not very much money.
But what I've been reading the last couple of days is Major League Baseball will pay $18.1 million, which is really pennies. They're going to step up and pay the balance of the verdict.
Yeah. I don't know why the They didn't find a greater damage award. An issue was Stowe apparently himself was intoxicated. His blood alcohol level was 0.18, which
yeah,
is...
What happened in the jury, the jury really couldn't decide whether that was true or not in the jury box.
Right. Well, in any case, when they I saw on YouTube the reading of the verdict, and they determined, as a matter of fact, that Brian Stowe himself was not negligent.
Right.
And so that, you know, that could have diminished the award. And, of course, the attorney for the Dodgers argued that Stowe brought this on himself by being intoxicated and getting involved in a shouting match with these two guys who beat him up. But apparently the jury found that Stowe was not negligent, but it might have factored in when they look at the
yeah.
award because, you know, I mean, his damages are severe.
Mainly baseball has got to do a better job with security. I used to work at Oakland Coliseum many, many years ago. And I will never forget, when the Yankees came to Oakland, it was like World War III in the bleachers. I have never seen so many fights in my life. When the A's played the Yankees in that game, I didn't want to work. Because the people were crazy. They were just outright crazy.
Right.
It's only a game. That part of America, I don't get. You don't see this in Europe.
You do. You do see soccer riots.
But it's...
Hooliganism, alcohol use. I mean, Europe has a huge problem. I mean, they have to put chain link fences to separate the stands from fans from fans from one team getting on with another team. And it, in Europe particularly, a lot of these soccer teams, you know, are followed by, you know, working class people who are, you know, can be subject to what they call over there hooliganism.
Yeah.
So it's really a problem. I mean, Major League Baseball, I believe, now stopped selling alcohol after the sixth or seventh inning.
Some teams. Not all teams. The Oakland
right.
do not do that. But the Giants, they do do that. So some
yeah.
teams, it's according to where you play at.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Stowe case is certainly a tragedy. It paints the picture of alcohol and sports and, you know, how team allegiances and, you know, epithets can get out of hand. The Giants' third base coach, Tim Flannery, has done a couple of concerts. He apparently is a rock and roll fan himself, plays, and I think has done at least one concert, says he's going to do a series of others to try to help in Bob Weir, who was formerly with the Grateful Dead, I believe, has gotten involved with these
right.
as well.
Right.
The other big news I want to talk about is the NBA.
I want to ask you a question before we get to the NBA. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
The arena event, the past 3 days, what has happened to the Don Shirley case? What the NBA has done, they put LeBron James and his free agency stuff in the front page. Meanwhile, the Don Shirley case, the LA Clippers case, is way back in the page 31.
Well, that was the two things that I wanted to talk about with the NBA was And I was going to take them in the order that you wish here, talk about Sterling first, even though I think the LeBron return to Cleveland, I think, is one of the most major developments in the game, certainly one of the biggest personnel moves, in my view, since Magic Johnson announced that he was HIV positive. And I'll get to that in a minute. Let me talk about the Donald Sterling case. This is a remarkable case. There's an excellent article in SI.com, which also broke the LeBron story, that analyzes what has happened. Now, where we are is Shelley Sterling, the wife, negotiated a sale of the team for $2 billion on the basis that she had the right to sell it based on Sterling being mentally incompetent. And she had two physicians examined him, and they came up with the opinion that he was incompetent. Sterling had another physician or two examine him, come up with the opinion that he's not incompetent. He's been on the stand this week, and he's been
erratic.
Well, erratic and sarcastic, but also razor sharp. You know, he's not taking this sitting down. He's very arrogant. He probably thinks that he's bigger than the process, and that just may be his ego. That's not Alzheimer's talking. That's his ego speaking. And the SI.com article talks about whether the judge who's presiding over the case will look at this erratic behavior as being just, you know, arrogance, or is this the sign of dementia. The case has been put on hold because I think the attorneys had pre-scheduled vacations. So there's kind of a September 15th drop-dead date by which the sale has to be finalized.
But there are loopholes.
Yeah, well, there's loopholes. I think, what's his name, Ballmer from Seattle, who's going to buy the team, said, you know, that if Shelley Sterling can't sell it, or, you know, if the court directs that he not get the team, you know, he will abide by that.
Mm-hmm.
But the question comes up here, if Sterling is competent, then Shelley Kelly may not be able to sell the team. And then that throws it back to the NBA of forcing a sale and basically taking the sale away from the Sterlings.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Donald is suing the NBA around that very issue.
Let me say this. Let me get it by Cole Caravan. If Donald Sterling owns the LA Clippers, not one single black free agent will ever play for that team. They will not go to that team. I don't care how much you pay them, they will not go to that team because Donald Sterling is in that team.
Well, and it really opens up, I think that's a good point, it really opens up also what's going to happen with the new season because the Clippers were very close in the playoffs to just sitting down and not playing, and I know you are of the opinion that they should have forced the issue then. The issue becomes now, what will they do in the new season, and that's why the September 15th date becomes important of the NBA removing the team from the Sterlings in advance of the new season so that the Sterlings are not in a position of ownership, and then the team would get put up for auction.
All right, let me give a little insight to the Cole Caravan. The past 3 weeks, there have been nine free agents, nine. Not one single free agent said we're going to go to LA Clippers. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. All these free agents, and not one of them said the name of LA Clippers. The NBA got a problem.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right that, you know, that's a good reading of the tea leaves and, you know, looking at straws in the wind here as to what's happening. And people are staying away from that team in this uncertainty because if there's the possibility that the Sterlings own the team, you may well be correct that black players do not want to go there. So they're avoiding it like the plague right now. It's also a team that's going to be very, very, very unsettled.
Wait, you mean to tell me, let me, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, who else? Kevin Love, all these guys, not one single one of them is at LA Clippers. The Clippers have the money, the Clippers have the arena. The Clippers have a playoff team. Not one single free agent the past 3 weeks has mentioned the blue and red of the Clippers.
Well, that team's got a stink on it. It's got a stink. It's got a stigma. It's got a cloud hanging over it. And they don't want to go to a team that in which the players may shut it down, in which the players may not play. They may not play wholeheartedly for an owner, if that owner's name is Sterling.
And guess what? They had three free agents next year at D. They had three free agents. Now what are you going to do with them? This has become a major problem.
Oh, major problem. And that's why when I was going to start my conversation here, I wanted to talk about the LeBron events and the Sterling events as being two bombshell events that are affecting the future of the league. This Sterling thing is a mess.
It is.
And Sterling's not going away. You know, and separately, there's the lawsuit, let's not forget this, between Shelley Sterling on behalf of the estate and V. Stiviano. And that case is on hold while the attorneys brief whether it should be in civil court, like a typical lawsuit between parties, or whether it should be in family court because it's dealing with the estate of the Sterlings. And, you know, not quite a divorce, but a feud between marital partners. So that whole issue is being briefed by the attorneys, and the judge basically said, well, gee, I don't know if this case should be here at all. write me a brief telling me whether this case should be here or not. Apparently, both sets of attorneys want to keep it in civil court, but they have to write a brief on that issue in order to convince the judge that it belongs in the court that it's in. So he doesn't send it over to family court, which makes it then more of a pointed dispute between Shelley and Donald and V. So it's a mess. It's a mess. And, you know, sophisticated minds are looking at this. When the judge says, gee, I don't know, write me a brief, that tells you that things are really up in the air.
A couple months ago, Ms. V better watch her back. Because when you start messing with people's money, and you start making it embarrassing them in public,
right.
You better watch your back, because I would not want to be here now. I would not want to be, and the way this guy is talking now, I know I would not want to be Ms. V now, because this guy is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is the work of scandal and big money. People get hit by cars and disappear and things like that.
This is the problem with America. This is the problem with America. People with money, they do anything they want to do and get away with it. The LeBron James case is exactly this. Dan Gilbertson is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, fine. LeBron James is a free agent. Legally, he can do whatever he wanted to because he's a free agent. LeBron James made a business decision to go to Cleveland. That was a business decision. What Dan Gilbert did was shameful. I mean, shameful. To put a letter he wrote was despicable. It was degrading.
Right.
And it wasn't taken down until a week ago. And there was still on the Cleveland Cavalier website until a week ago.
Well, ESPN, for all that you've beat up for good reason on ESPN, ESPN website had a very interesting article about how LeBron did not let pride stand in his way. That for LeBron to go back, it's LeBron's exercise of power. And I know you've raised the point, other commentators, Cowboy Reggie has raised the point that it's like a slave returning to the plantation.
Thank you. That's what it is.
Well, another point of view, though, is that LeBron is not a runaway slave. LeBron is very, very wealthy. He makes his decisions as to where he wants to go.
If you look at the letter, let me get an answer. I'll read the answer of his letter.
Yeah.
I'll read it.
Yeah. Let me just say one thing before you do that LeBron knows about the letter, obviously, and he's commented on the letter. And he says, look, we all make mistakes. And he has chosen to be the bigger person. Now, certainly, Dan Gilbert should not hesitate in following in that slipstream and make his own public apology. But LeBron has basically said, look, we all make mistakes. LeBron is inferring, of course, that Gilbert made a mistake by writing that letter, and LeBron is exercising his power to forgive, whether Gilbert apologizes first or not.
Okay. What Dan Gilbert did was he had an employee. LeBron James was an employee, right?
Yep.
You're the boss. You talk to your employee every day or every so often, right? Now, you know what they're about. My thing is, if you knew what this guy was about, why If you knew what this guy was, you knew what this guy was made of, why did you do that? See, again, number two, if you leave the letter up on a website, what does it tell you? 4 years, this letter was on a website. It was only taken down last week.
Right.
Fine. To call somebody narcissistic, self-promotional, okay, to call him a traitor, okay, I have a problem with that. I have a real serious problem when he calls somebody a traitor, but he's only doing a business decision.
Well, when LeBron left, he took the stuffing out of Gilbert. And again, this was one of the most economically powerful things back then, 4 years ago, that a player has ever done. I mean, back then, LeBron threw a grenade into the nest of the NBA by saying, you know, and it was his decision. It was a powerful decision, and Gilbert was irritated by it. Because, again, these guys are powerful guys. I mean, all of these guys, it's what, you know, Mark Cuban was talking about. You know, these people are powerful people. And they've got strange habits. I mean, Jerry Buss, Donald Sterling, Mark Cuban, Daniel Snyder, Gilbert. They often think they are above everything else. Why? Because they've got money, and money is power. You say it yourself. Follow the green.
My next question is, when the Broad Jays was a free agent again, why didn't Dan Gilbert become public and say, you know what, I made a mistake. It's Saturday afternoon at 1:58 in the afternoon. He hasn't said a move yet.
Right.
Okay?
Well, listen, I'm going to be sure as much as LeBron was the shot caller in this, because LeBron called the shots. LeBron had the freedom to go where he wanted to go. And I'm sure that he had a man-to-man, face-to-face. Well, he did have a man-to-man, face-to-face. LeBron has said this himself. Sit down with Dan Gilbert to clear the air to LeBron's satisfaction. Just as I'm sure he had to sit down with Pat Riley to say, okay, am I staying here? Am I leaving? LeBron was holding the cards.
And to me,
that's what is so magnificent and so surprising about his decision, is here's a guy, he was in control of the conversation. He decided where he wanted to go, not the NBA. He was no indentured servant. He was no runaway slave. He had economic power.
Okay.
And he decided, I've made my money, I've got my rings, I can go anywhere I want, I want to go home. And let's see what we can do at home. Let's see what kind of gold we can bring to the Rust Belt.
Okay. All right. Now, I understand your point. Now, I want you to understand my point here. The NBA was in trouble with those five teams in the Midwest, in the Central Division. Those five teams, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, and Cleveland. Those five teams were bleeding money the last 4 years. Why? Because people were not going to the game. They were not going to the game. They called LeBron and said, hey, LeBron, we need help. Can you come back to Cleveland and help us rebuild the Central Division? Okay? Now, LeBron James said, yes, I'll come back to Cleveland. Now, my question is, what is it going to be his reward? Because the Cleveland Cavaliers
changed. They now have LeBron James on that team. They have Kevin Love possibly coming to that team. They've got a number one draft choice, Wiggins, and they've got a very good point guard.
Okay.
And they've got other people coming now.
In order to get Kevin Love, you have to trade two players and money to get Kevin Love. Are you going to do that?
Well, the point that I wanted to make earlier is that LeBron's move has thrown certainly the entire Eastern Division into a state of uncertainty. I'm not going to say turmoil. I'm going to say uncertainty. It has really shaken up the Scrabble letters.
Well, what this has done, it has given carte blanche to the Western Conference. All of the teams in the Western Conference, meaning Oklahoma City, San Antonio, LA Clippers, who else? I'm missing a team. But those three teams are guaranteed NBA championships in the next two or three years. They're guaranteed. No. If they get to the finals, if they win the Western Conference, they win the NBA title. Whoever it is, that's what this means. The strongest team in the East now is the Washington Wizards. And they're a bad team.
Right.
It tilts
the balance, certainly. But it's going to be a period. Even LeBron himself has said, if we can do this, it's going to take a couple of years. Maybe 2, 3, 4 years. It's interesting to look at LeBron in a way as kind of an artist. To say, okay, what can I create? What can I bring? What can I build, around me? What can I teach? To look at an NBA championship as kind of a canvas on which to paint. And this is how he paints his legacy.
Well, one thing that I noticed, and I hope he goes beyond this point. LeBron didn't want to be like Michael Jordan, that is.
Right.
Michael Jordan is only one Michael Jordan. There'll be no other Michael Jordan.
Right.
Michael Jordan was a corporate guy. As I said earlier in my rant, earlier at the beginning of the show, LeBron James wanted to be like Mike. The only way he could do this was to go back to Cleveland because the NBA fans, Sports Radio America would not let him be if he did not go back to Cleveland. Now, it's very ironic. Very ironic. All those Cleveland fans who burned their jerseys, burned 23 jerseys,
right,
took down the LeBron James posters, cursed every name in the book, his name.
Put his photo inside urinals. Let's not forget
that. The same ones today are cheering LBJ.
Right.
That tells me how fickle the American sports fan can be.
That's true, but it also shows the magnitude of the hurt that city felt that's got nothing going for it, and the gratitude that they experience when he comes back.
My thing is, if you're an African-American player, and you experience this, I have great admiration for the Friday we're going back to that place. I would have gone back. I never gone back. There's no way. No way. I would have gone back.
Right. But that's
because of what Dan Gilbert said.
Right.
And what the fans did in public. They had a little 8-year-old son say, "Well, Daddy, can I put my LeBron shirt on again?" And it said, "Oh, yeah, you can put it back on again." What do you do today, 8-year-old son? See, that's what I'm talking about, Arden. The mental, how many cheeks can be turned when the older Dan Gilbert refuses to turn a cheek? Okay, LeBron is doing all the giving, and Gilbert doesn't do anything at all. Am I right?
Well, Dan Gilbert is signing a paycheck, and LeBron is naming the figures. And again, I'm sure that there had to have been a backroom conversation in which Gilbert apologized to LeBron, to LeBron's sufficiency. Otherwise, I think LeBron would not have gone back.
But Gilbert needs to apologize to the Cleveland Cavalier fan base in public because what he said was not true. That's the problem I have with this.
Right.
Dan Gilbert said inflammatory remarks about the best basketball player on this planet. And he said, I quote, he said, "We will win a championship before the problem." Did he do that?
No, and heck no.
Okay.
In fact, let's make that heck no squared.
So, my thing is, Dan Gilbert needs to be on TV today or tomorrow or whatever and say publicly, "I made a mistake. I apologize to the Cleveland Cavalier basketball fan base and LeBron James." That's what we need to do.
Well, that day may yet come. It'll be interesting to see when it comes and if it comes, and if it comes when, you know, we see LeBron and Gilbert at some point making an appearance on the same stage at the same press conference, something like that.
Well, until he does, I have cooled off my fan base to LeBron James. I used to be a LeBron James backer, but this move bewildered me. It just bewildered me. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You're not satisfied by LeBron's explanation of how he wanted to go home.
I don't get it. Look, if you publicly say, "I'm helping the league," okay. If you publicly say, "I'm helping the Cleveland Cavaliers," okay. But this move is very, 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 very suspicious. I think it's a business move. I think it's right for them to help the NBA. I believe that LeBron James is trying to be like Michael Jordan.
Well, let me ask you this too: if LeBron brings glory to the Cavs, and the other Central Division teams remain stuck in mediocrity, other than that, you know, every time he visits one of those cities, he fills the seats, and he's going to visit those cities with far more frequency, you know, playing within the division than with outside the division. How does that really help? How has the division itself helped?
It helps the owners of that division. Look, when LeBron James goes to Milwaukee, that Milwaukee name is sold out.
Right.
When LeBron James goes to Chicago or Detroit or wherever in that Central Division, that stadium is sold out.
Right.
And see, that's what I have a problem with this because these owners are going to get rich off of this boy going back to Cleveland.
Well, they're going to get rich over that man going back to Cleveland. Again, that's my point. That man made his decision.
Well, again, I
don't know that we're going to reach any final agreement on this, Gary.
Okay,
but I think it's good that we've had the opportunity to
yes.
air it out.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
All right. I'll be watching. I'll be watching to keep me in touch with the Sterling case, because somebody's been thinking about the Sterling case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is going to be, I mean, that guy.
He's a loose cannon.
Yeah, and you know he's mixing it up and isn't going to back down. You raise the point. He needs to be careful too.
Yeah, that's right. He does.
You know, because he's playing a big money game, and you know, things happen to people.
One thing that I really think the NBA better be careful with. And Sterling to uncover a lot of stuff that he knows.
Oh, yes.
And the NBA did not want that to become public.
Those are one of the issues that he's already raised.
That's right.
Because he's saying, okay, you know, doing discovery on these other teams is what other information do you have, NBA, that other people have made unsavory remarks?
Uh-huh. NBA very, very careful with this.
Right.
All right, man. Thank you for jumping in, man.
Have a good day.
All right. Michael, thank you. You're in the house.
Yes, sir. What's up, Gary?
How you doing?
Well, I was listening to the dialogue and stuff, and I have to say, you know, everything that they said about Donald Sterling just kind of disappeared in the ozone, and there's a reason for that, because we can't forget the timeline of what happened over there. You know, for all intents and purposes, Mark Cuban ran interference for Sterling.
He said everything
out in front to distract from the fact that a $2 billion deal was going to go down. Sterling paid $12 million for the Clippers and now stands to make a profit in the thousands above the percent of what he actually invested in the team. And this ties into Buffalo and what's going on with Pat Freeman and the brothers up here. Because, again, they left the Buffalo Braves, became the San Diego Clippers, you know, back in the 1970s. So we're 40-odd years dispatched from this. And on top of everything else, you tie in LeBron and his potential dollar value for the whole conference, and especially that Rust Belt, where you've got Indiana, Detroit, Milwaukee, Minnesota, all those teams in the Midwest whose stadiums were empty are now suddenly going to be filled with both hotels, both nightclubs, both restaurants. You know, there's a paradigm that's here in effect that people will not talk about because, like we always say, money talks, you know what, runs a marathon.
Michael, I have an issue with LeBron. I like LeBron. LeBron is a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. He wants to be loved by everybody.
You cannot
be loved by everybody. Nobody's
going to
like you.
No. If anything, Gary, I think his demeanor off the basketball court has sparked more resentment because he's done, I'm sure, for the sake of his family, more than the NBA ever wanted to admit.
Yes.
You know, his wife probably was the most pivotal factor in him returning to Cleveland, not because of anything that bastard Dan Gilbert said. You know, on our show, or rather on my show, Sultry Radio and Raw, we read the letter that Dan Gilbert sent out to all of his so-called fans. And let's remember, he was fined $100,000. And some of the dumb bastards there were willing to help pay his fine
because he was playing to the most common denominator, to the lowest common denominator, and I mean low, when it came to the so-called fans of Cleveland and them expressing their displeasure over LeBron James. I wonder how many of those assholes who were burning jerseys are trying to find the ashes to patch together their same jerseys now that he's coming back. So
Michael, Michael, I was in the CBS Sports Cleveland, CBS Sports Radio Cleveland.
Yeah.
And every single person of the Cleveland, of Cleveland, never apologized.
Of course
never
not.
Never said, "Oh, sorry, I burned your jersey, or I tore your poster down." Never said. Well, we made a mistake. See, it's right around the day. Well, now we're Cleveland Cavalier fans.
That's right.
This is the reason why Cleveland was not winning a championship every all time.
Why should he apologize when he knows he doesn't have to? He didn't apologize, and he meant everything he said, and I'm sure when he was behind closed doors, he probably not only sucked LeBron's jock, he probably swallowed too. Because we can't have him seen as eating humble pie or being truly apologetic to a black man. I mean, let's be real on this. Let's keep this 100. That's really the essence of this. I don't think in any clear conscience, unless LeBron's wife really had a major say-so in this, and I believe she did, there's no way in hell LeBron would go back to Cleveland based on what was said and done to him by Gilbert. And let's remember, the mouse was just as liable on this, the way they handled this from a media standpoint, how they salaciously went after him in spite of the fact that they helped contrive this whole decision one thing. And all of the propaganda up to the so-called decision two was no different. They did the same damn thing. They just had to temper it a little bit because they realized, well, he's coming back, so we better be nice to him. You know, there's a reason that LeBron went to Sports Illustrated with this and not ESPN. He knows those guys are a bunch of dick dastardlies, and not that Sports Illustrated is actually any better. But the bottom line here is that he did what he did for his family, and he may as well have done this for the league because the league may have come down there and sucked his jock along with Dan Gilbert and say, please come help us because that Midwest section is really missing a lot of revenue. You got to help us, not just for the sake of the Cavaliers, but for the Pistons, the Timberwolves, Pacers, and everybody else in that Rust Belt.
Well, it seems to me that as an African-American, to be called all those names, it's really interesting. On your show, you brought this up on your show. There's a guy who wears number 30, who wears a blue shirt, is a goalie for the New York Rangers.
Oh?
This guy is named the King Lundqvist. How many championships has the King Lundqvist won? How many cups has he gotten for the City of New York? Zero.
Listen, so-called King Henry has yet to put on any kind of crown in any kind of sport. But yet, nobody makes fun of him. LeBron James went through all of that grief and was unmercilessly set upon by media wonks like that bony-ass Stephen A. Smith and others, Skip Clueless, calling him Prince James, mocking him, you know, because in spite of his talents, he couldn't get the Cleveland Cavaliers to a championship. But when he won those two in Miami, they had to shut the hell up. And let's be real on this. When that troika was formed with Wade and Bosch, they almost won a third one, but the referees beat them out of that against Dallas. So, 4 NBA finals in 4 years. I'd say that's a pretty good damn average. And let's not forget the whole benefit that he provided his fellow Aquilians in donating everything he did to the Boys and Girls Club. If that had been a white athlete, if that had been Tim Tebow, they'd have been calling him a child of God in the most positive of ways. What a great humanitarian. You know, Johnny Manziel doesn't get pushed with the whole idea of, well, you know, Johnny, you have to be a role model. But, you know, as soon as LeBron brought his black ass back to Cleveland, oh, you know, what a great role model he'll be for the kids of Akron. You know, the hell with that BS.
Well, it's very
fascinate the man's character. And whatever address he may get may have well been G behind closed doors.
Well, really, you brought LeBron James up. And because LeBron James is going back to Cleveland, Johnny Manziel off the hook now. Johnny Manziel can do 80. Nobody will challenge him now. That's what it is too. Johnny Manziel, I pray that he doesn't get in trouble because if this fool is losing his mind, Johnny Manziel is a kid that's out of control. He's out of control, and the media will not chastise him because
you're being too nice, guys. Johnny Manziel is a punk. Cause if Teddy Bridgewater had walked across that stage and did the money sign, they would have savaged him. Johnny Manziel does it. Oh, you know, he's just being Johnny. You know, he's cocky. We like that. You know, the assholes like the Grudens of the world would endorse that behavior. But you better believe if a black quarterback had done that, they'd have ostracized him. They would have roasted his black ass over the coals for what he did. And everybody knows it. You know, they still make fun of it. They still do the money sign. You know, they endorse his behavior. And that's that white bullshit entitlement that always comes into play. Now, you know, I'm a staunch Philadelphia Flyers fan. We saw the same thing happen with Claude Giroux, who I like as a player, who is the Flyers captain, and got busted over the holiday, supposedly grabbing the behind of an Ottawa police officer. Now think about that. He had to reach for him to grab his butt. Can you imagine what would have happened if a black man was reaching for a police officer? Quick, they would have said, "Come!"
Oh boy!
If he was first of all stupid enough to do it.
Yep. Well, I want to know what's going on in New York with the New York Yankees, the New York Mets. What's going on with them in New York?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, G.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on with the Yankees and the New York Mets.
Well,
the baseball.
I couldn't tell you, to be totally honest, because this whole LeBron thing, when you layer it with what happened with Sterling, when you layer it with what's happening with the Washington football franchise,
it's
making everybody unaware of just how thick a layered cake of BS this is. There are so many incidents that are interconnected that if you really ain't thinking about it, or if you really don't give a rat's ass about it, you know, you're oblivious to it. But make no mistake, LeBron coming back to Cleveland, becoming the predominant story after Sterling gets ready to do a Nino Brown and say, y'all can say I'm senile if you want. I got a list of mofos right here who I know have done some dick dastardly stuff, and I'll drop down on everybody if you give me the opportunity to.
Yeah.
So that's one reason why he was all hot and bothered to go to court. He's ready to drop down. He don't care. You know, he's like, I'm 80 years old. I'm old. I can't screw anymore. And it just got busted. about how the girl I was screwing tried to put my black, put my white behind out on the street. So there's a whole lot of stuff underneath this.
Oh boy. Speaking of the Washington Football Club, there was a blogger this week who designed as Mr. Snyder,
yep,
made this guy to put positive about the Washington Football Club's name.
Uh-huh.
And he quit. And the reason why he quit is because he got caught.
Yeah,
he got caught. What do you think, man?
He got caught. He was the same person who busted would-be Senator Allen in Virginia with the Macaca quote regarding Central American Indians. And they're hiring him to literally do spin to justify Washington's keeping their nickname. And because he got busted, he had to resign from his spin doctor job only 2 weeks in. And this is on the heels of another story where, and I'm sure you probably brought this out, Daniel Snyder and Washington have been promised a Super Bowl if they change the
name.
Now, we know they're going to do it. It's just a matter of how much. So the price is being ratcheted up because they're rewarding the disgusting behavior of the owners of the Washington Football Club.
And my thing now is where are the NAACP on this? Where are the black guys? They need to be in the front row. Where are they?
Brother, how can the NAACP do anything from now on? After they got busted in the Sterling situation, those short-sighted idiots in California have compromised the NAACP everywhere.
Yeah, they did.
Because in North Carolina, there was a situation where some asshole who works for the state as some sort of housing director was making disparaging comments on social media about how black people are lazy and did all this other stuff. And the local NAACP wanted him fired. I mean, it's like, it's the phrase that our colleague Eric Satterwhite likes. It was a perfect example of that. The actions of tigers and the actions of sheep do nothing for what tigers do because tigers can eat the sheep. He was all about his little redneck self, and he knew that this Bubba was not going to get any kind of flack from anybody. He told him, I ain't quitting my job because these niggas see what they said about me. No, I didn't quit my job. And there's nobody who could really stand up to him because what real teeth does the NAACP have when we know that their souls can be sold for $5,000 by a racist like Sterling to buy their silence?
My thing now is that the Washington Football Club will get inflated price because of Don Sterling. And this is what really bothered me about this whole thing. This year, when Washington Football Club started the season this year, the stadium will be full. It will be, can't buy the seat. The old season already sold out. It's sold out already.
That's exactly what I mean about sheep and tigers. They don't give a rat's ass. When that season opener starts, oh, we're going to see RG3. No knock on RG3, but, you know, when the stadium is filled, they're not going to say anything.
Don't you
realize when the kid from Oklahoma was available, Bradford, when he was available and the rumor was that Washington might take him, can you imagine the kind of flack he would have caught as a Native American brother? His apple skin might have been exposed. We don't know. But the fact that he never had to get to that is an interesting premise. Because as a Native American somebody would have stepped to him and asked him the question that would have made him have to answer. Because if he is noncommittal, he might be perceived as an apple. But the point was, Washington wasn't even going to entertain that notion.
No.
Because they weren't going to pick him. Because they know that the nickname is messed up. And even though they had Mark Rippon, who was a native brother, quarterback in their team to a Super Bowl and all that, the issue never came up because the voices weren't loud enough.
Right.
Now they are loud enough. And now people notice. So it'll be intriguing to see what happens next.
Also, LeBron James refused to wear the Cleveland Indian cap. He went to a couple ball games in Cleveland and refused to wear the cap. Now, going back to Cleveland again, I'm wondering if he's going to bring this up again.
Well, that's a good question. You know, for whatever Cleveland's baseball club is trying to do, we know one thing they're not trying to do. They're not going to change that logo. And unless the heat comes down on them, and don't think they haven't been watching what's been going on with Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Unless the heat really comes down on them, they're not going to change. They're not going to change anything.
Well, it's very interesting. On the road, they wear the C or the cap. They don't wear the Wahoo cap anymore. On any road game, they're all.
Well, they're just trying to go out of sight, out of mind, Gary.
Yeah,
Gary, that's why they're doing.
Yeah.
They know. As long as that's on their sleeves, and I mean Chief Wahoo.
Yeah.
People are going to pretend, or they're going to pretend like nobody would notice. But you better believe, people are noticing. You know, if Louis Tiant had the balls to do what he did back then, when he had no backup at all, they're going to make someone take a stand on it. It may not necessarily be LeBron.
Well, if LeBron speaks up about the Cleveland Indian logo, it will get done real fast. Because LeBron has the audience now. If he says boo, they'll change it almost immediately.
He always had the audience, G. But you got to remember, every time he tried to speak up, someone told him to shut the hell up, whether it was golf for in the Olympics or whether it was how people were being treated in the inner cities. Every time LeBron tried to do something, and remember, the most evident incident of that was the decision itself. They screwed him. They screwed him because they did exactly what they wanted, but how he was perceived. They never said thank you. They never said that he was donating his time and all this money to the Boys and Girls Club of Akron.
Right.
It was deliberate. He was shown early on that he was nothing more than another nigger, but just one who was a little more high profile, who could dribble a basketball.
Well, the beat goes on. It's very interesting that LeBron Gates go up and put Sterling Gates in the background now, and I'm wondering if that was planned too, you know, to get Sterling out of the headlines and put LeBron back in the headlines again.
Well, what's that old line from the movie Dune about plans within plans? I think that in large part was one of it. It was one of those plans, you know. Missing his home, his family in Northeast Ohio had a big part to do with that.
Yeah.
His wife wanting to please her probably had even more to do with that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Let's be real here. When it comes down to basketball or Pum Pum, Pum Pum wins.
Real
side. Pum Pum wins.
Mike, you there? Okay, go ahead, Mike. I'm going to take a quick break here and we'll get right back. We're going to do a little bit of trans here. boycott the trans, and then did about my living room, my dream, on BrotherRadio.com. Mike, are you there? Come back, bro.
Yes, my brother. I'm sorry. My phone ran out on me and power-wise, but obviously the point made is that LeBron's wife had a huge hand in his actions regarding returning to Cleveland, probably in many ways helped to ease his mind about his actions because he knew, big picture, he had to do what he was doing for family's sake and personal peace of mind for his now wife regarding everything that was done.
I got you on a clear bone now. I hear you better. What's going on with the New York Mets and the New York Yankees? What is it like the Yankees are blowing up in New York City? What's going on with that, man?
Well, as far as for the Yankees are concerned, you know, this being Derek Jeter's last year, they are probably trying to extend themselves more than what they've done in past years since George has passed on and the baby Brenners are running the team. Because they know they needed to do something to keep people in the stands and give people the impression that they're trying to win baseball games. But on top of all of that, there is a huge issue that's going to be in the mix. It's the same issue that prompted Robinson Cano to go to Seattle. And it's like, look, nobody did more damage control for the Yankees than Derek Jeter did. You know, when those microphones were put in front of his face, Derek Jeter was there. You know, he answered all the questions. He did all that stuff. You know, he accommodated everybody in the media.
Right.
Robinson Cano, as a dark-skinned Latino brother, would have had all kinds of hell. There wouldn't have been enough money to factor in the grief that he would have been subjected to by the New York media. Can you imagine how he would have been savaged media-wise in this season without a Derek Jeter? Who were they going to put the microphones in front of? They knew that Bronx Vader, that Derek Jeter, was training Robinson Cano to be the apprentice. He was the heir apparent.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something, unless Yankee fans are going to be really honest with themselves, that they'll never admit. The Yankees don't like black faces in positions of authority any more than anybody else does. Because if they did, Willie Randolph would have been managing that team a whole
long time ago.
But even Willie knew what time it was, and he said, I got to get my black ass out of here. They don't want me.
Chris Chambliss,
who's not a truly dark-skinned brother, but who managed in their organization.
Right.
Chris knew what time it was. Chris, they're not going to hook me up. Tony Pena, you know, was a successful player in their organization, helped them win titles. You know, he'd be a position coach, but Tony Pena knows they're not going to make him no manager.
The Yankees have
a color ceiling that they refuse to deal with. And believe me, if Derek Jeter was a lot darker, he would not be getting the love that he is right now. And that's no knock on Jeets. I love Derek Jeter. And I know Derek Jeter knows who he is. But the reality is the Yankees know what they are. And they really don't want Derek Jeter in their pantheon of greatness. Derek Jeter earned his place in spite of what the Yankees have done.
Have
been riding a crest of success, not just because they've been winning games, but because they have been able to market the image of what they're supposed to be. You know, Yankee fans, wake up believing that the title is theirs by divine right. And all of the guys who they consider their guys who play, who they think are Yankees, have always been tied with being white. If it was a black player, if it was an Elson Howard, if it was a Willie Randolph, you know, they were cool because they didn't make any waves. You know, Reggie Jackson was an exception because he produced when it mattered most in spite of being a type A personality. You know, he did what he did in the highest of pressure situations, and he came through. Dave Winfield, for everything he did, he was never going to be a Yankee. And people forget, George Steinbrenner's worthless ass tried to ruin his career. Can you hear me, Gary? I don't know what the hell that was. Hello, can you, Gary, can you hear me?
Yeah, I want to know who these four things is.
I don't know who that is. It ain't me. Wow.
Okay, whoever it is, you can't come in. Sorry.
Yeah, no shit, you can't come in. Wow. Anyway, G, as I was saying, people casually forget that George Steinbrenner tried to destroy Dave Winfield's career. He tried to set him up. And whether he gets into the Hall of Fame or whatever as an owner, that has to be remembered. You know, he didn't like Dave Winfield because Dave Winfield didn't produce those World Series rings for him. You know, he spent all that money, made fun of him, called him Mr. May and all that other stuff. Now, Dave eventually won his rings when he went to Toronto. But the point was, he went so far as to try to create something to discredit Winfield and his foundation. And him and Howie Spira, you know, those names were in the papers for a while, but nobody ever said that Steinbrenner should be arrested for what he did. Because he should have been.
Well, Michael, I think we're being listened to again because these were these.
No joke.
I don't know who it is, but whoever it is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, 646, whoever you are, 646, you're a jackass because you tried that on my show. And the bottom line people can do what they want. The long and short of this is this. Just as with my show, G, I know you do this with yours. The information is just being put out there. What you guys decide to do with it, that's on you.
You know,
it's like you don't have to believe a thing I say on my show any more than what Gary says on his show. But if it turns out that what we're saying makes some sense and all of a sudden, you know, things start to piece together, then you realize maybe it wasn't just a couple of angry Negroes spouting a bunch of stuff on the phone. Maybe there really is some meat in the sandwich.
No, I really, let me make clear to my co-caravan, folks, I really hope the best for LeBron James. I hope he does wonderful things in Cleveland. But until Dan Gilbert says him in public on TV that he apologizes for the letter, I apologize to the Cleveland Cavaliers fan base for not having the opportunity to win the last 4 years. I don't care what the Cleveland Cavaliers do until that happens. Once it happens, I can go back and enjoy watching the game. Until then, I might have a problem watching the game.
Yeah. I won't have any problem watching it because, as Fred Whitted, the professor, says, this is a watered-down game. They have spent so much money, even more so, on hype because they know it's a watered-down product. They know these players from this era couldn't match the skills of the players from back in the day. And that's not because we grew up watching them. It's because it's true. Because those guys from back in the day went to school 4 years, even if it was an indoctrinated system of indentured servitude. They were learning more things than just dribbling a basketball and how to run a 45-degree angle cut. So we know a lot of these kids are ill-equipped to handle it. They may have the rudimentary talents and skills to do with that, but the cerebral part of it, understanding that there's things going on beyond the court that has nothing to do with them but really do infect their lives to some degree, they're not aware of those things. They have no home training. And these are the things that the LeBrons of the world and others like them, whether they play basketball or not, are going to have to come to grips with.
Well, I wish these gentlemen would go at least 3 years of college. I did this a couple times with my friends. If I became president of the United States, I'll make it mandatory that every child in this country goes to school at least one semester. And I take it to master, and I make it through one semester, I will have every child, this is what I would do. Every black child in America will go to Asia for 1 year. Every white child will go to Africa for 1 year. Some of this stuff would stop. If the black child would go to Asia and watch what they do, if a white child would go to Africa and watch what they do, some of this stuff would end. That's what I wish for. If I was president, that's what I would do. And this racism stuff would be cut in half.
Well, Gary, I gotta throw this in before I go.
Okay.
Let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago that an 11-year-old Asian girl was playing professional golf. But yet, millions of black and Latino athletes, and white athletes in this country, are playing sports at a professional level but not getting paid one damn dime.
Yes.
So let's consider that balance and understand that for every Asian girl who's playing professional golf, for every Eastern European girl that's playing professional tennis, you know, you've got people of color who cannot earn a dime or who have to be careful about everything they receive because they're indentured servants on the 100-yard plantations and hardcore plantations of the NCAA.
Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome, brother. To all the Cold Caravan, please stop by and check out our music therapy session in the Mindstream tomorrow night at 9 p.m. after the Music Box comes on 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the West Coast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's Gold Radio on the Raw, Michael Ingram.
Okay.
Every Saturday. And we got WCLF in the house. WCLF 1450 Cowboy Reggie. Cowboy.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Gary?
What's up, man?
Well, I'm here to make it official. Mary and I got married today, my man.
Congratulations, my brother.
Yep. It's official, my man. So
I'm
announcing on your show.
You got a good lady here. Well,
here you go.
Got a good lady.
Hi, Gary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm Mrs. Wilson now.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You take care of my brother. Take care of him.
I'm going to take care of him. I sure am.
All right. It's good. Good to hear.
All right now.
Hey, Barry.
Yes, sir. But Gary, real quick, I want to thank
you
and Mike again for sitting in on the show. The thing that troubles me, like we talk about the Dred Scott decision with LeBron James, you've made an excellent analogy, Gary, that now all those venues around Ohio are now going to get paid. And see, I don't understand what LeBron is thinking. I don't know what Gilbert promised him. Anybody that's part of the Quicken Loan, and that's predatory lending, and he lends money primarily off of minorities. To me, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
You know. Yes, sir.
My, I told Michael the same thing. Until Mr. Gilbert apologizes in public. This is gonna be a problem for me to watch the game, and I can't watch the game until it happens.
It'd be hard for me to root for LeBron now. I really can't root for him. I mean, because I do not want to see the Clippers to get a championship because, again, how Gilbert and another thing, that guy Sterling out there with the Clippers, isn't it interesting how nobody's not talking about him no more?
Well, I hear they are out here, but not back east. When the thing gets real warm, they change subjects. And it got too warm, they change subjects. What Sterling has done is he has inflated all the sports teams now. So they're overpriced.
Yeah.
Why is the football club either when they will be sold, I think Nair's going to sell the team because he wants to keep that name.
Yeah,
so,
that's the thing.
He
can make more money if he changes the name. I don't understand why he doesn't understand that.
Well, I think he's going to sell the team just because he's so arrogant.
Yeah. Well, he needs to sell the team because, again, we've seen already that he is not taking care of business like he should. And, again, the people out there are not, you know, really responding like they should. So I know you're up against the wall, my man. I know you're getting ready to shut it down.
Yes, sir.
Right again, BG.
Get out of here. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for looking out for him, my friend.
Let's go, my WCLM 1450. Gotta check him out every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. On the west coast at noon in the east. Sports
Talk.
Thank
you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
My man, Big G.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Well, we're gonna get ready to get out of here. 256. We got WNBA news. Tina Charles, Liberty upset the Lynx last Sunday. Maya Moore scored 25 points. And on the same day, the dynamic duo of Taurasi and Griner beat the LA Sparks 94-89 for a 7th victory in a row. As Griner in the fourth quarter blew up Taurasi and Griner win the 7th straight. The Mercury. On Wednesday night, the Mercury win again as the Big 2 beat the Seattle Storm 78-58. On Tuesday, Maya Moore and the Minnesota Lynx. Moore scored 30 points, 16 assists, double-double. As the Minnesota Lynx are 8-1 at home. Moving on, the PGA. Seattle Open was today. And Angel Gaudera last week win the Grimer Classic by 2 strokes. Roger Sloan win the Nova Scotia Open in Canada. As John Deere Classic this week in Illinois. Okay, LPGA, they're British Open, and Michelle Wee blew up for 78 on Thursday, and Michelle Wee did not make the cut. 18-year-old Stephanie Hall is the leader of the LPGA Ridge Open with MB Buck tied for the lead. And Dennis Jovan Djokovic to be the favorite of five-set blockbuster at Wimbledon last week for the third time. Djokovic is number one on the tour now. Serena Williams is the number one woman, but she had medical problems at Wimbledon and did not go to the finals. This week they're at the Bucharest Open in Romania and Nuremberg Gaston Lady Classic in Austria. Next week they'll be in Sweden for the Collector Sweden Open. And Serena Williams will not be there. And men will be in Hamburg, Germany and Bogota, Colombia. Formula One, last week, brother Lewis Hamilton won the British Grand Prix. The goal with the 4 points to teammate Nico Rosberg for the Formula One racing point lead. Rosberg had a gearbox problem and dropped out of the race in England. This week there will be in Germany, the German Grand Prix, in IndyCar. And last week they're in the Poconos, Pocono 400, and Juan Pablo Montoya wins in the Poconos. Today they're in the Iowa Corn 400 in Newton, Iowa. Next week they'll be in Toronto, Canada for the Canadian Indy Grand Prix. Last weekend there was a massive crash on lap 20 and took out half the field in the Coke Green 400 at Daytona International Freeway. Alec Almirola wins the Rain Jordan race. And this weekend, they're in New Hampshire for the Camping World RV Sales 301 in Lawton, New Hampshire. Newsbreak. Netherlands just beat Brazil 3-0 to take third place. The host team, Brazil, loses two straight games on their home soil, which is unheard of in the World Cup games. Brazil must have to do the soul searching as the Netherlands beat them today. This got ended. Netherlands 3, Brazil 0. Tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time, Germany will take on Argentina for the World Cup Championship. Hope you have a good night and a good weekend. And don't forget, the Beauty Box Hour and the Mind Dream tomorrow night on blogtalkradio.com. Good night.
Thank you.